You're listening to the Men Overseas Podcast, a show that explores methods and ideas to help you live a bigger life. You will hear interesting stories of how people live, how they save and invest their money, and why having time wealth is better than being a billionaire. If you are entertained, educated, or elevated, be sure to hit the subscribe button. We're just getting started. Now here is your host, Brad D'Antonio.
Like, I'm okay with Anna.
Anna?
I got used to it.
That's how Anna. You say your name?
Anna.
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 Is that because you're Estonian?
It's because I'm Russian.
Oh, yeah. Do they say it different in Estonia?
I think it sounds the same in Estonian.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you grew up near the Estonian-Russian border, correct?
Yeah, correct.
How far?
Just on it. So I could see Russia on the next
block?
Block, not the block, the riverside, actually.
Oh, you live on a river?
Yeah, so there is a river, which is the border between Narva and Ivangorod, which is Russian. Ivangorod is Russian and Narva is Estonian. So you walk by the river and you see the opposite side.
How do you spell Narva?
Narva. It's N-A-R-V-A.
And you live there most of your life?
Not the most. 13 years.
13?
Yeah.
And then where'd you go?
Moscow.
Moscow?
Yeah.
And you lived there how long?
13 years.
13, lucky 13. Is Moscow as beautiful as I hear?
It is. It is beautiful. It is huge. Like, I don't say 12, 14 million people officially and a lot of unofficially. So, yeah, it's huge. It's beautiful. It's crazy. You can go out and get job like easily, like right now. And yeah, that's a good thing to live there for a young person, ambitious person, you know. So I went there to study and stay in there longer than I thought. And then something changed in the air, politically, I mean, and I decided to go.
So you were there 13 years, and I know roughly how old you are. So when you say something changed politically in the air, that would have been about 2010, roughly?
It was exactly 10 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it was 10 years ago when Nemtsov was killed.
Who was killed?
Boris Nemtsov, the politician guy, the opposition one. He was working with Navalny.
Oh, he was with Navalny, who was also killed.
Yeah. So I was just next street from the place where and when he was killed. I didn't hear anything. I found out about that when I was back at home. But I sensed something this evening. I remember that something is going to happen. Something is going to change. I don't like it here. I got this urge to go someplace. And I didn't know where I want to go and where I can to go right now. So I had this permanent residence permit here in Estonia. So I came to Tallinn because Narva is boring. Sorry for that.
There's not a lot of jobs, I imagine.
Yeah, not a lot of jobs, not a lot of people. And it is still a little bit Soviet to my mind, to my taste.
What makes it Soviet?
People who live there who prefer to stay the same, not to change. I'm not talking about everyone. It's just like I'm against of all this generalization, you know. But some of them are still stuck in this past, so I didn't like it there.
How did they kill the opposition guy?
Well, I don't know, and no one knows. So this is like top secret information and you never find out. But someone just shot him.
Mm-hmm. Like an assassination.
Yeah.
How did they get Navalny?
I have no idea. But
I know they tried to poison him once and he had to go to the hospital in Berlin. Do they still send people to a gulag or is that a thing of the past?
It's in the past, but I guess maybe in the future as well. Yeah.
That's a concern?
Mm.
Why?
Well, I don't like the regime. I don't like that what's happening at the moment. And I don't like when grown-up people tell other grown-up people what not to do, what not to read, what not to think about. So in my mind, that's the gulag.
Like a gulag of the mind.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. So that's not the place, not the exact place, but that's something in your mind. Yeah.
So when you say the regime, you're talking about Putin's government? You don't feel any hesitation about speaking out against the regime? Because I've actually had a Russian on the podcast before who told me before we started that they didn't want any talk of Putin.
No, I don't want it either, but I'm not, you know, this politician expert. I'm an anthropologist. We study people. We don't study regimes and all this stuff. So we talk about the power of individual, and what regime is doing is erasing the individuals and makes the collective. So if you ask me some politician questions, I might not know the answer. I don't take sides, you know. I have my feelings toward this situation, and I just don't like it. So that's why I moved here. If I don't like something here, I move somewhere else. That's like the place. I don't know. I don't feel like the place is mine. Neither Estonia nor Russia. So for me, it's like the passport, the country. It's an instrument. So if I can use it right now, that's okay. We are good. If I can't, then I need to decide what to do next.
You have an Estonian and a Russian passport?
No, only Estonian.
And do you think that this sentiment that you have, this feeling that you have, it comes from your upbringing?
I don't know. That's a tricky question. Because I grew up in a simple family. Not very stable, not very mature. And they were against my education because that was expensive, hard to do, hard to think about, and a lot of responsibility. So I took it myself. So I think I just met some people during my life who affected the way I'm thinking now. So one step at a time. And here I am.
You were telling me that your mom comes from a world where there was famine, right?
Yeah. Well, not my mom exactly, because she was a kid, but my grandmom. Yeah, she was from this world. She was a kid of the war, another one. And we didn't talk about that because that was really, really sad to her. And she was a very positive person. And I remember her I spent some summer holidays in the village she used to live. And I remember her every evening, like, falling on the bed, tired of all the garden work and stuff, and telling that, okay, we are done. Another day is done. And she was, like, so relieved, so happy about that one more day is done without, I guess, anything that could happen, any bad thing that could happen. And now I'm probably grown up now. I feel the same every night. I'm in bed, I'm like, okay, one day is done. Mm. One just calm day without any bad things that could happen to me and my family.
And where was this village?
That was next to the Ukrainian border. So that was actually next to the former Stalingrad. You probably know this name. Now it's Volgograd. It's in Voronezh region, but closer to Volgograd region. So that's really not far from Ukraine. And we have a lot of relatives there in Ukraine. So my grandfather was Ukrainian. My father is Belarusian. So I have a mix of what is called now a conflict already. So yeah.
Did you tell me that your mom experienced the Holodomor, the famine that was stolen and created?
No, not my mom. But she lived so close to the border that she could hear all the talks about that. That was our grandparents' events, like that happened in their life. But because my mom was 20 something when I was born, so, and her mom was also 20. That was common for these generations. So, you know, we had a lot of talks about that, like a lot of talks that happened not in our family, because in our family, no one could talk about that. It was sad things to discuss, you know, but yeah.
We experienced the same thing in America, where our grandfathers who fought in World War II didn't talk about it afterward. I think it's just too heavy. Some of them started to with the advent of the internet, sharing their story, but not many of them. And of course, having museums helps. There's a World War II museum in New Orleans that's really good, and that's where my family is from, New Orleans. I went to the Occupation Museum here over the weekend. And I learned about how the Soviets invaded here in 1940, and then, or was it 41, 40, 41, and then the Nazis invaded in 41, and then they occupied for 3 years, and then the Soviets came back in 44 and occupied till 91. Is that the sort of stories they tell you about, or that you would talk about?
No, like here we don't talk about that because that's not part of our history here. Because, you know, when you lived in Russia, that was another story. That's more the conflict with the Nazis and stuff. Not like Estonian, because we don't have any relatives here in Estonia. That's our new history, you know. So, yeah, I remember that in school here in Narva, we talked about that a lot. We visited museums, we visited these war survivors to share their stories. So that was like the common background for us. We grew up with that and with this feeling that we don't want the war to appear again.
I've seen signs around town that are anti-Putin and wishing he would die. Yeah. That's a pretty popular sentiment around here, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Is there concern that he will invade the Baltics?
Of course.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Always, or has it increased recently?
It's increased recently, because when the war in Ukraine has started, no one could believe in that. So
what do you mean no one would believe in that?
Like before it has started, there were rumors about that, but no one like really believed that could happen. Because we used to live like brothers and sisters, you know, our two countries were like so close together. And there is a lot of mixed families in Russia and Ukraine. So no one could believe that. And then it happened, everyone believed. And now I guess people can believe anything could happen with Russia. Yeah.
And that's the fear. Do you think the Baltics would be first if he decided to invade other countries?
I'm scared to think about that, you know, but I have to, because I live here. I have to think about that, but I cannot do like the proper prognosis. But it can happen. Now everyone is pretty sure that it can happen. And do you imagine the history of Estonia now after this occupation museum? You know, it's all this history of different occupations. So I think people in Estonia, they understand the political concern, and also they understand that it could happen.
What would you do? I read at the Occupation Museum that a lot of people had a heads up that the Soviets were coming back in 44, and they fled on boats and just tried to go west. It didn't matter where. But if you went to Finland, Finland was getting bombed soon thereafter too. So just go as far west as you go west, young man. I don't know where you'd go.
Yeah.
Just keep going.
I try not to think about the plan, because you never know how it's going to happen. So yeah.
So you just graduated, correct?
Yep.
What'd you study?
Anthropology.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's such a cool topic. That's what if I went back to school tomorrow, I think I'd study that too.
Yeah, people keep saying that.
Really?
But like when you're telling that you're, okay, I'm an anthropologist, that sounds so, I don't know, sexy now, but it's the same like seeing a dinosaur. Have you seen any anthropologist beside me?
No.
Yeah, you see, I've seen some, but yeah, because I was in the university. But yeah.
So you were what we call a non-traditional student. You went back after, what, 15, 20 years?
Yeah.
Were you the only one about our age?
No, not actually.
No?
Yeah. People change their mind about the education and they go to the university again. So that's pretty common now.
Did you go to Tallinn University?
Yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm. And what made you want to study anthropology?
Well, I came here 10 years ago. I knew no one. I talked to Siri. Seriously.
Siri?
I talked to Siri, yeah. Because, you know, you go to the supermarket and there is this self-service. You cannot talk to the people there.
Yeah, I don't use it because I can't figure it out.
Okay, I use it because I'm... Okay, I can figure it out because I grew up here, but still, you don't talk to people that much. And so I realized that, okay, 3 days passed, I didn't talk to anyone. I talked to Siri. So I decided that, okay, I need a plan. And so the plan was like to find people of some common interest with me. Also to get some education in English because, well, when you come from Russia with all these Russian diplomas and stuff, that's pretty heavy to translate, to validate, to do all this paperwork. So I decided that, okay, that's the easiest way is to go to the university. And also I realized that it's going to be something that I'm passionate about. Just because I need to, I don't need a new diploma because I already had two. I want to get some experience. So that was it. And then I went and I checked all the programs because I didn't want to commute to other places like Tartu. They have a pretty university, but I don't want to commute. So I want to stay in Tallinn, probably in the city center, because we have also Taltech, this Tallinn Technical University, which is far from the city center. I didn't want to commute. I just came back from Moscow. I was tired of commuting. So actually, for this first 6 months, I didn't use public transportation at all. Like, I could not. I was so tired of Moscow transport. So, yeah.
That's interesting to me because where I live, we don't have good public transportation. And it's often dangerous, especially if you lived in New York City, for example. People are scared to take the subway. But here, public transport is excellent.
It is.
From my view.
It is.
It's clean. It runs on time. There's no riffraff. You don't have to deal with scummy people. I just love it. I use it every day. So I'm surprised to hear you say that. In fact, it's only a 15-minute walk to where I'm staying, and I still get on the bus just because the concept is so new to me. I'm like a little kid in there.
Yeah.
And I scan my little card. You can buy a card for 30 days for, I think, 30 euro. So it's, what, 50 cents every time you get on the bus? I think it's fantastic. Even Uber is cheap here. So it's 350 euro to get from here to where I live. And I was in an Uber that used to be a taxi recently, and it showed that for the ride to commence, to start, it would say 389 euro, and that's just to start, and then 89 cents a kilometer. So last time I was in New York City, it's been a while, but I think it was like $5-$6 maybe just to start, and then you pay per mile. But my Uber trip was cheaper than what it cost to even get in a taxi. And that's how Uber used to be in the States. It was half price, roughly. And now it's pretty much as expensive as a taxi. But here, it's still cheaper. But that's probably the only thing I've noticed that's less expensive, because it's pretty expensive here, don't you think?
It is.
And I would imagine the Scandinavian countries are even more expensive. Yeah, I've been to Norway. It's super expensive. And we're going to Finland on Saturday. Is there anything you recommend I see in Finland while I'm there?
Well, I've been to Helsinki.
That's where we're going.
Times, yeah. I love this new library. They recently opened it, the public one. It's pretty cool.
I'll go there.
Yeah.
What else?
Please. I can give you some coffee places.
Oh, good.
Really nice ones.
And there's a sauna just about in every hotel, I've noticed.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
A Finnish sauna is, they have them everywhere, at every gym. My gym, I go to MyFitness right down the street. They have a gym, a sauna, a pool that's kind of warmed. They have cold showers for when you get out of the sauna or the steam room. I love that. We don't have that in the States, not set up like this. So it's all kind of designed for Finnish saunas, and I think it's fantastic.
But it's
so cold here, it makes sense, right?
Yes, exactly.
So you studied anthropology. And is it just a deep interest in people, like a passion for people that you have, that you wanted to learn more about cultures and people?
Cultures, people, migration, borders.
Your thesis was about that topic, correct?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
So that was a study of immigrants and their sense of belonging, like their identities. And I went to Montreal, Canada for 3-month fieldwork. My initial idea was to do the fieldwork among immigrants to collect stories. And then when I was there, I was reading some books, anthropology books. We have this Michael Jackson, not the one you know, but the rock star of anthropology, and other authors. And I was reading their books and I found out that the power of individual is what passionates me. So like, I want to study one person, and it's legal in anthropology, you know, you can just study just one. Just someone.
In podcasting, you can really get to know someone too.
Yes, exactly. So you're doing this anthropology right now. So, and I ended up writing my thesis about a power of individual. So Russian-speaking immigrant who moved to Montreal, to Canada. I say Russian-speaking because she came from Russia, but she's not Russian because, you know, what is it? 140 million people in there? Do you think they're all alike? Of course not. And she comes from this Bashkir region, which is actually they have mostly Muslims, if I'm not mistaken. It is next to Tatar region, and she has Tatar roots. So if she was still in Russia, she would not be called Russian. She would be called like Tatar or Bashkir, but when she moved to Canada, she ticked the box.
Russian.
Yeah. Where are you coming from? Russia. So, and she automatically became Russian. So that shaped her identity in this way, because for Canada, she's Russian, which she is not, never been. So that's the story behind that. And in this project, I'm talking about the identity, how it's not fixed. It's not something you were born with. It's something that is always in the process. It's always becoming. You're always becoming. And also, there is this anthropological concept of seeing identity not as a concept, not like asking what is identity, but instead, we are asking, how is it identity? So you are like American because you do this and that. You go these places and that places. You eat this food and that food. And I don't know, I'm Russian because I read some books. I eat some stuff. I do some stuff. And also, there is this understanding that you as American or me as Russian, we don't exist if there are not others around us. So in this sense, you are American because I'm Russian. You know, if there would no me, there is no you as an American. So in this sense, the borders, they exist between countries. There would be no Estonia if there is no Russia, no Russia, no Finland, no Sweden, etc. And so there is this power of individual that we are all unique, where our identities are always shaping because of these events and that events. And always we are in this collaboration with others. And so we are Russians, Americans, Estonians, because of them, not because of us.
So is it an argument for a lack of borders, for no borders?
Well, there is this argument for the lack of borders, but we are borders, you know? We have this Estonian-Russian border because we are here, because I'm here, you are here. We need these borders. And this question, if is possible without borders? I think no, because we need them. But the regimes, yes.
I was in Poland and was told that there are roughly 8 million Ukrainians there now, refugees. Yeah. That is so many people. Yeah. Is that something you've looked into, like studied?
Not really refugees. I was just, because I started my thesis, 9-8 years ago. So that was a long story because I had life in between and other projects. But yeah, I started it in a really peaceful time. So, you know, well, there were refugees, of course, at this moment as well. But yeah, my intention was to study the peaceful stories, because identity, there is this forced migration and the individual choices migration. So my intention was to study this, to look at your voluntary migration and that stuff like that.
There was a lot of voluntary migration into America. Is that something that you paid attention to?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
What do you think of that?
It might change now.
It's changing fast.
Oh my God. Yeah. My friend in New York City is waiting for some signs of her deportation, probably. But she's there.
She's Russian?
Yeah.
She's worried about it. A lot of people are self-deporting. My good buddy has a regular masseuse that he's gotten to know through the years. He's seen her once a week. His family's pretty much had her on the payroll, and she self-deported to Thailand because she was afraid of being deported.
Oh, that's a good thing. So she was one step
ahead
of that.
And that's kind of your feeling too, right? That if things start to look like, you start to have some concern about Russian invasion or whatever, you'd probably self-deport, right?
Yeah, I always want to be one step ahead of things, because I don't want to be like scared of like something that's happening. You know, we survived this 19th in Russia. That was really harsh time. So yeah, I don't want to be there again.
Do you remember the fall of Soviet communism?
No, not really. I was five, six, seven. No, I was in school, 7.
Did it affect your family at all?
I don't remember anything about that. We were here in Estonia already, so we moved before the Soviet Union collapsed, and we were here in Narva. I remember my first school year when we were like this, you know, Oktyabrionok, this pre-pioneer stuff, and so I attended some of these events.
How do you plan to use your degree?
Well, when I was polishing my thesis, I was so tired of that I thought, okay, I'm going to just graduate and forget about that.
Really?
But now, that's a funny thing. I'm reading the books, anthropology books, without any pressure. Yeah, just for fun. There were some books that I was curious about and I just didn't have time during my studies, the anthropology books. And now I'm reading them and I'm like, oh my God, I could continue. So maybe, I don't know. I'm scared of that because, you know, all this pressure and stuff, it will come for sure with these new ideas. But yeah, maybe.
Did you guys talk about misanthropes, like the misanthropic among us, the anti-humanists?
Yeah.
Like the reverse of what you probably are?
Yeah.
You talked about that?
Yeah, sure.
What's that about? Like who did you talk about and what do you think that is? Are those people evil or?
Well, you know, in humanities, you don't consider people as evil. You're always on the positive side. You try to, of course, but in this, when you drink wine with your professors, you can talk different stuff, of course. But yeah.
Especially if you're older.
Oh, for sure. But the thing is, I was asked actually during my defense, what would I suggest to the Canadian authorities, like how to improve the policies, how to improve the process of accepting immigrants, how to do it in a like more human way. So I was really asked about that during my defense. And of course, I'm not this politician or or the guy who works in the immigration bureau, you know, so I cannot suggest the steps you can follow, but I was like curious about what can I do in this situation.
That was an unexpected question? You had to think on your feet?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
That was an unexpected, and I remember the story of my informant in Montreal, how she told me how her process was, when was that, 14 years ago. And I realized that that was actually more human, more like, more seeing her as an individual. And so I came back to this story and I said that, yes, that was a good one. That was a good example. We could consider that. But of course, I understand that the more people want to travel there, to move there, the more like the stricter the policies would be. So that's the question.
So they're doing more vetting now than they did years ago, 14 years ago?
Yeah. This is more like automated, you know.
Automated vetting?
Yeah. Mm. They don't see the human behind these papers.
And they should, I guess you think they should devote more time to it, getting to know the individual before they let them in?
That would be perfect.
And should they, what should the rejection rate be, you think?
That I don't know.
Half?
That I don't know. Yeah, that's a tricky question for me because, you know, there is a human being behind this anthropologist and I can see people behind their papers as well. And I'm like not accepting everything and everyone. I'm a bad guy, I would say, but yeah.
No, I think that's correct. I know America's doing more vetting now. They don't want people in America with anti-American sentiment because they might foment uprisings and terrorist attacks. And have there been any terrorist attacks here in Estonia?
I don't think so.
No? Is there crime here at all?
Yeah, it is.
What kind of crime? Has there ever been a murder?
Yeah, your bike can be stolen. Mm. Yeah, that's like the everyday crime that we experience here. Or, you know, during this midsummer holiday, people reported to the police that the flag were like upside down on some buildings. So that's the crime here. Well, it used to be, on my Instagram, I had this, I exchanged news, Estonian news with people abroad, like in the funniest way it can sound for people who experience some like tough times in their countries. Yep. Because here the crime part of the news is more about the squirrels, the birds, the flags, or something really, really funny. So I had this, but now the politician agenda and all this stuff about possible Russian invasion, that's started to sound more like heavier.
Yeah, I laughed when you talked about the crimes here. So there's no cartels or is there drugs?
Yeah, for sure.
I'm sure the crime revolves around drugs, probably.
For sure.
People get stabbed every once in a while?
Yeah.
Are you allowed guns here?
No.
Nobody has guns? Not even for hunting?
Oh, I'm not sure. Some should have, but like you have some license or... Yeah.
Is there nature close to here?
It's everywhere.
Really?
Yeah, it's just everywhere. That's why I love Tallinn. You live like in this village, actually, in the city, in the capital, but still in the village. You've seen that a lot. It's green, it's full of parks. And
the parks are beautiful. But if I wanted to go on a good nature hike, how far would I have to go?
You can stay in Tallinn.
Really?
Still. Yeah, yeah.
Are there mountains close?
Mountains? Mountains, what's that? You know, we don't have it here.
No? Yeah.
It's 300 meters, something like the highest part of the country is 314, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, so does it consider as a mountain?
That's probably a hill.
Yeah.
We don't have them in Houston where I live either. It's hard to get a good view of Tallinn. You have to climb a clock tower or a church tower. We did it the other day, and my little girl struggled a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's 4. You have a 2-year-old?
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Oh. Well,
Did you always want to be a mom?
Not really. I was scared of kids. I don't know how to behave with them. I had a lot of friends' kids who grew up next to me, and I was scared about that because, you know, they take all your energy and stuff. They are like little dementors.
Yes.
So I was always scared, but a part of me knew that as a woman, if I missed this experience, I would probably regret this. So I knew that I want to go through this experience, not that I wanted to have kids around me by myself. Oh my God, it's scary.
And you did have a kid by yourself.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Well, that was not my decision. So my kid's dad wanted to have kids that much. So he disappeared the moment I got pregnant. That happens, you know. And that was the best thing that happened to me, actually. I didn't know that when I was pregnant, I was scared because, you know, you're going to be alone with this kid that will take all the energy and all your life. But then during the first year, I realized that that's the best thing that happened to me because we were just two of us and we could do anything we wanted. And we were like, just, okay, let's live our life the way we want to.
So do you have contact with him still?
No.
And he doesn't have contact with his son?
No.
Does the government get involved? Does he have to pay or anything?
Well, he's a foreigner.
A what? I'm sorry. Foreigner?
Foreigner, yeah.
Where is he from?
He's Paris born.
Paris?
Yeah. So, but he's actually a son of a Muslim, Moroccan Muslim and a Canadian Jew. Mm. So that's kind of, can you imagine my son's mix? Yeah,
it's
like a world conflict.
Yeah, so, I thought my kid had an interesting mix. Yours far surpasses that. Wow.
So, yeah, during my first year of motherhood, I was scared of all this stuff that could happen because I didn't know how it's going to be like working full time and being a full time mom, you know, and alone in the world. So I was like, oh, my God. So I contacted some law firm. And they're harsh here. They said that, okay, just accept that you're a solo mom. He's a foreigner. So we don't have a law that we will chase him on the borders like a real criminal. So basically, abandoning the kid is not a criminal. You can do whatever you want. And then that's an interesting topic, again, for me as an anthropologist. So, yeah.
So he fled to Paris or Morocco?
Somewhere.
You don't even know where?
Last time I've heard from him, like, he never actually refused to have this kid. He was always, like, positive, like, yeah, let's do that. Just we'll be separate and let's do that. I'm going to be somewhere abroad, but just let's do that. Last time I heard from him, he was on Taiwan for some job reasons. And he was going to register our kid as like his son. So he needed to go to some Estonian embassy abroad or an Estonian consulate during the first 2 months of this of our son's life. After that, he needed to go to Estonia. That's like some kind of paperwork that should be done in Estonia. So last time I've heard from him, he was on Taiwan. Then he said that there is no consulate on Taiwan, and the nearest one was in Hong Kong, if I'm not mistaken. But he said that he's flying to Paris, and there is an embassy, so he will do everything for his son, and then nothing.
He hasn't even met him?
No.
My goodness.
Yeah. So, you know, this is the question I'm asking myself, what to tell my kid? Because there are books when the father is dead or like the father said, I don't want you. But there is no book or no cartoon or a movie about the father that says that, okay, I'm going to do everything for the kid and then disappear. Just like, yeah. So.
Wow. So he was born and raised in Paris?
Yeah.
Was he an Arab fella? Like from the Middle East originally? Yeah. Oh, that's heavy. And that the emotion of that must have been hard on you being pregnant and dealing with that.
Yeah, I was scared. Yeah.
Did you have help? Because you said you don't have family here in Tallinn.
Yeah, I don't have family in the world because my mom died when my son was not even one. So yeah, that happened unexpectedly. She didn't help at all, but like she was here. And you know, when you have a mom here in the world, you don't think about any other. And then she passed away and I realized that, okay, I don't have anyone. No sisters, brothers, cousins, no, like everyone is gone. And I was like, wow. But that gave me some strength, yeah, to start thinking about that I can do. I can do whatever I can and I want.
And where's your son right now?
In the kindergarten.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. That's the best thing happened to us.
Yeah. Did you grow up with siblings?
No.
No? Just you?
Yeah, just me.
When did you learn English?
Well, in Moscow, in my first university, I studied translation, and that was terrible. When I got my diploma, I was like, oh my God, should I tell people that I'm like a translator? Because I don't speak English that much. I don't know that if that was already some part of propaganda or that was just my bad experience at my university, but my English was so terrible. So when I came here 10 years ago, I enrolled to this anthropology program. I realized that, yeah, I can pass some exams. Like I did this IELTS for the studies. So I can pass all these exams and stuff, but I cannot talk easily with people who grew up here listening to radio, watching movies without any translation. So just like be in this English speaking content. And so I started to do things like they did. I started watching movies, TV series, reading books, and absorbing the language.
So other than me in the last week, how much have you spoken English other than with me?
Well, more than Estonian.
Because, really?
Yeah.
Oh, because, why is that?
Because here we talk, I mean, in our company we talk more, we speak more English than Estonian because, like, you know, here people come to book offices, to be here, mostly like strangers, like foreigners. Also, a lot of Estonians, because that's not my native language, Estonian, a lot of Estonians around me, they know that I struggle talking to them in Estonian because that's a hard language, I would say. So they switch to English with me. So that's much.
Have you been to Latvia and Lithuania?
Yeah.
Is it as nice as here?
It is, but it is a different world.
Really?
You mean you have these three Baltic countries, but Estonia is different. I would say that mentally it belongs to Scandinavian countries more than to Latvia and Lithuania. They're so different. Maybe it's the language, because it's a different one. So Estonia is a branch of Finnish, Hungarian, and Estonian, and Latvian, Lithuania, they have a different branch. Maybe it's something mental, I don't know, but really, I would say Estonia is more like Scandinavian country. I've been to Finland, to Sweden, and I would say it's more like them, to my experience.
Sweden's experienced a lot of migration, right?
Yep.
What do you think of that?
I just finished a book of Iranian anthropologist, the guy who ran the country actually by himself without any documents, passport and stuff. So he called himself a legal traveler and he ended up in Sweden. He became an anthropologist and he got shot in Sweden because he was a foreigner. Yeah. That's like he finally found his safe place, you know, in Sweden. And he got shot. Well, he survived that, but he some part of this bullet stuck in his
face?
Face, somewhere in the bone, and they decided not to remove it because that affects his muscles and stuff. So it's still there. Can you imagine? So it took him some years to get to Sweden, and he got shot. Can you imagine? That's crazy. So, yeah, my question is there any safe place for all of us?
It's a dangerous world.
Yeah, it is.
How did you fund your education? Does the government help?
I paid something. It's cheap in Estonia. My classmate, my former classmate, came here from New York City because it was so cheap for her. That was just funny. I think I paid $1,400 per year.
Not bad.
Yeah, it's for you, it's probably nothing.
I went to the doctor here the other day. It was 60 euros, and I don't have insurance here. I went to a physiotherapist they referred me to. That visit was 60 euros. In the States, you're paying 200 at least.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was cheap, and I got some scholarship as well that covered some of the part of it. And I already worked, so I had some money to pay for that, and yeah, that was...
What's your take on religion, and what is the predominant religion here?
I like it that Estonia is not a very religious country. So they have some beliefs, you know. I have some beliefs. I'm not religion. Religious. I think of religion the same as of regimes. You know, if you believe, you just believe. But if there are some rules you need to follow... Some of them are really stupid. Like, as a woman, during my period, I cannot go to the church. Why? So, you know, but that's Orthodox. But Estonians are less religious. I think that's one of the less religious countries. Mm. And they have some beliefs, actually. And they are close to nature, which I share the most. Because, you know... We belong to nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't ask, how long were you dating the guy?
Oh, that was a long story because we were together for some time. Then we separated for 5 years. Then we were together again. And we lived for two countries. So does you like count the... Do you count the time, the gaps when he's abroad or I'm here as a part of relationship? So that's a complicated story, you know. In general, some 7 years. Mm. But if you count the days, maybe less than a year. So, yeah, that's interesting.
What do your friends think of Donald Trump?
Oh, we don't like clones here, you know.
Don't
so
like what?
Clones. These circus people.
Clowns. Oh, I thought you said clones.
We don't like it. We were like, in our Soviet childhood, we were traumatized by these clowns and circus. So we don't like them. And I think, well, he said some good stuff in the beginning that he's going to end up the Russian-Ukrainian war in like a couple of days, and also this Israeli-Palestine conflict. I think he's just blah, blah, blah. I don't know if he would do something good for the world, but I don't trust the guy. You know, as I told you, that I'm not this good in politics, but I have my feelings, and I just don't trust him.
Where do you get your news or information from about America?
Well, I think we have, like, I read some Russian opposition stuff, like media, not like Russian propaganda media, but they cover it a lot. Also, the American newspapers online.
Like New York Times.
Yeah. But yeah, mostly like Russian.
Do you think there'll ever be another? I'm sure there will be, but is there an opposition figure to Putin now that's on the rise? Isn't his support like 87% or something? Do you think that's crap?
It's a bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I remember I was a schoolgirl yet that when he was elected first. Can you imagine? I'm 41 now, almost 42, and he's still the president. Yeah.
People are afraid that that's what Trump's going to do.
Yeah.
Trump's almost 80. So this is so interesting to me.
All the crazy leaders are now 70, 80 something. Can you check this? Like, just yeah. Crazy.
Although I do admire Trump's energy. I hope that I have that much energy at 79 or however old he is. I don't want to be like Biden. Yeah. So I'm trying to keep up my health for those reasons. Do you do any kind of exercise outside of hiking? Do you go to the gym here?
No,
the
I don't.
Gyms are so good.
They're so good, yeah. But I don't go because I don't have time. You know, in the morning I run to the kindergarten, then to work. Then I finish work, run to the kindergarten. So that's my exercise. But I go by bike there and for. So,
how many languages do you speak?
Russian, Estonian, English, French. Four. That makes
just four, huh?
Yeah, just four.
Yeah. You probably have friends that speak more than that.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
That's wild.
And I never learned anything apart from the European languages. So I don't know how to do this Asian writing or some, I don't know, Georgian writing. That's like fascinates me, but I have no energy for that.
People in America, if you speak more than one language, especially if you speak more than two, people think you're a genius, unless you're like Melania Trump. They, you know, but people, but they don't realize that in America, we're so far from other countries, aside from Mexico, which if you speak a second language in America, it's typically Spanish. But where I live, it takes a three-hour flight to get to LA and a three-hour flight to get to New York City. So just getting out of the country takes that long. And then you have the oceans to fly across. So we just don't feel the need to learn another language, you know? Yeah. And we kind of wish that people would assimilate and speak English, but that doesn't appear to be happening much. You want to do some fun questions? That usually leads to good discussion.
Sure.
All right. If you could go anywhere in the world for a month and live there, where would you go?
Japan.
Ooh, that's top of my list too. But I tell you this, have you been?
No,
it's
not
expensive.
Yet. It is.
It's as clean as this place and everything runs as efficiently and the people are just as nice, but it is really expensive.
But it's crazy different from all the countries in the world.
That is so true.
Yeah, yep. I want to see that. I want to get this experience because that's crazy. That's like another planet.
Yeah. What's your favorite place you've been?
Iceland.
Really?
Yeah, it's Reykjavik? So beautiful. Yeah, I've been to all the country, like I traveled through this. It's crazy beautiful. It is just, oh my God. We got a tent with us and a couple of times we stayed just in some camps and they are situated in the most beautiful places. Not the hotels. The hotels are on the roads, but like camps are next to the waterfall, next to the fjord. So you wake up, you fall asleep with this waterfall running all the time. Or you wake up and see the beautiful mountain and the fjord. And it is amazing. I want to go there again.
And the cold probably doesn't bother you.
Oh, no, I'm from Estonia. Come on. That was the same as June here. No, that was cold, actually. We went there in the first weeks of September and it was really cold at night already. So I would not go there in winter because we have a lot of winter here in Estonia, but summer should be beautiful.
Yeah. I'm always impressed when somebody who's not a native English speaker uses a phrase like, come on, or they'll be talking and they'll say, well, I mean, and they say, I mean, like an American would. And it's like, whoa, how do you pick those things up? But you do, right? Listening to podcasts and watching movies.
Yeah, Friends. We grew up on Friends, you know, on this series.
What is it?
The TV series.
Oh, Friends. Yeah, Friends.
I know them by heart.
Yeah. Who's your favorite?
Ross. Because he's a paleontologist, you know. How do you pronounce it correctly? So I'm this... his academic friend, probably.
You know, the first time I remember laughing out loud watching Friends was when he dressed as the holiday armadillo.
Oh, yeah.
That's my favorite. Yeah. My wife is on that show, too. I'll catch her watching late at night. I'll go to bed, and she's up watching the Friends series, and she was born in the 90s, and so she's never seen, she didn't see it in the 90s, but she likes it. Yeah, you know, I actually think a show like that, or Sex in the City and life in New York City and glamorizing it, I think that's kind of led to the increase in single motherhood, or yeah, lack of, you know, the amount of women that are turning to the, to their careers, or living too long in New York City and not marrying. And so I think that's contributed. Do you think I have an argument for that?
Yeah, yeah. I think we started to talk about that, at least. That's a good thing, because, you know, here in Estonia, the gay couple can marry, like, officially, but still people can, like, hide their emotion about me being a solo mom. Mm. Like, when we had this Father Day, and in the kindergarten, they kind of forgot to tell me that, like, not forgot, of course, but, like, they didn't know how to tell me that fathers were invited to this celebration and had to fight with the kids. And I found out about that really, like, late. So they didn't feel good about that, but come on, like, we should talk about, maybe I could come and I could fight with my kids, you know?
Yeah,
so that's, like, that's the thing. You can marry a lesbian, but you cannot talk about this stuff that the father disappeared. Yeah.
Is there a book that's most impacted your life or your thinking?
Oh my god, so many. I think so many. I cannot say that there is one, because I don't know. You know, I just recently realized that when I was a kid and I was in Narva, the whole world seemed so far away from me. Because, you know, when I was a schoolgirl, I traveled to Riga, to Latvia. I got visa for going there for one day. So the world was closed and we had borders, much more borders than we have now. And it looked far away. And then I remember my friend's dad came to show us some videotapes from his recent travel. And that was some Arabic country. I don't remember what was that. I remember that I saw all this kakti and stuff, this dessert stuff. And I was, like, so fascinated that I said, I want to travel. I want to travel. That's what I'm going to do first when I have some money. And then I got a lot of books like that affected me in this way and that way. But I cannot tell that there is just one, you know, so many.
How far is Tallinn from your hometown?
What is my hometown? Let's start with that.
The one you keep mentioning, sorry, where you grew up, on the border, on the river.
200 something.
Kilometers?
Yeah.
So that's, what, 100 miles, 2 hours by car?
Yeah.
So could I go to Russia tomorrow if I wanted to and cross the river? Or would I need a special visa?
You need a special visa, yeah.
Would I get shot? I'd probably get arrested, I guess?
No, I don't think so.
They just wouldn't let me in.
They just don't let you in, yeah.
But and it's probably harder for an American, don't you think?
To get a visa? I don't think so. Mm. Yeah, I don't think so. You can just, you'll need to wait. Maybe tomorrow is not possible, but maybe in a couple of weeks you can get it.
I thought about visiting Lviv in western Ukraine.
It's a beautiful one.
It's beautiful?
There. Yeah.
You'd recommend I do that?
Yeah.
Even now?
Well, I cannot take this responsibility because, you know, but I would recommend it. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful one. Yeah, the most beautiful.
We're going to be in Krakow in a few weeks, and it's pretty close to Krakow.
It is.
Yeah. And we were going to go to Sweden from here, but we're going to Gdansk. And it's Sweden seems closer, so I think we'll just do Helsinki from here. I love it around here.
Why do you come here?
Because I love it. I knew that I would love it. My favorite city in the world is Prague, and we wanted to go back to Prague and spend the summer in Europe, escape the heat. Where I live, it's a 40 degrees Celsius, roughly, maybe even higher. I can't do the calculation in my head, but to escape that and just live. I like to live among the people and get to know the people like I'm doing with you, and get to know the culture and just live and take the public transport. That's why we don't stay in the old town. I want to stay a little bit outside the old town. We did the same in Warsaw. We do the same in Prague. I've done Budapest. It's less expensive than the Western European cities, London, Paris. I wouldn't go to Paris if you paid me to go. I have no desire to. I've been twice, and it's not for me. I feel like it's romanticized because it's so romantic. You can make any place romantic.
Definitely.
It's up to the individual.
Yeah. I don't see Paris as a very romantic place. It's beautiful. I like it, but it's not very, especially now with all these tourists and stuff.
And migration.
Oh my God, that's terrible. Yeah.
And London too is experiencing all this migration. I don't think it's helping.
Yeah.
But who knows? We will see. Time will tell. What's the coolest thing anybody's ever done for you? Or nicest thing, either way?
I can't think about one.
Really?
Yeah, I can't think about one. I don't know, so many.
You've been to America?
Yeah. Just traveled there in April, this April with my son. I wanted to go there before he turned two because, you know, then I have to pay for him.
Oh, I know.
So, yeah, we visited our friends in New York City. And we went there last year, the same time, April. Mm. It was blossoming.
What's your favorite thing about America?
Oh my God, I cannot tell about America. Like, I don't know the America. I know New York City. I've been to Boston. I've been to some places around New York City. But mostly it's New York City. So I cannot tell you for the whole country. I think it's the same crazy as Russia because it's big, you know, huge. But I love New York City. I always wanted to have this experience to live there for at least 1 year because, you know, then you got to know place. But now I think it's impossible because I'm like too old for that experience now. Mm. I feel like that. But with the kid, you know, that's going to be crazy. But I love that we stayed there in Brooklyn in Park Slope at our friend's apartment. I really loved that because, you know, Brooklyn is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends in Texas that when they graduated college moved to New York to have that experience for a year. They usually ended up staying 5 years. Some of them stayed permanently, but what happens is they get jobs for $50,000 a year and run up all kinds of debt because it's so expensive there. But yeah, it would be a cool experience. I used to go there for work quite a bit, and it's easy to see how when you live in New York City, you don't think about the rest of the world. Like, you feel like you're in the center of the universe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, funny thing happened to me when we were, this April, we were traveling from New York City to Montreal by train, which is long enough. It's like 12 hours by train. But that was easier with the kid because, you know, he cannot sit 5 hours in the bus. It's impossible. And in the train, you can move. So we traveled by the train, and some train worker came to talk to him, and he was not responsive because, you know, he's not very talkative at the moment, but that was in English, and it is not his language, one of his languages. So she was talking to him, and he was not responsive, and I said that, oh, you know, he doesn't speak English that much. And she was like, where are you from? I said, oh, we are from Estonia. And she said, Mastonia. Oh, wow. And she was pretty sure that Mastonia exists. And she know. I'm so sorry that I didn't ask her about where is it. Because I want to know where Mastonia is. Mm. And that's what I love about America. That they really.
We're so dumb.
Oh, yeah. They really think that the world belongs to them. Yeah.
Yes. We get very little international news unless you seek it out. And I know, like, I've been to Croatia, you turn on the television and CNN International is on, you know, so you're always outside of America getting news about America, it seems like, but inside you don't hear much about the rest of the world and they don't know much. And it has a lot to do with what I was saying, that everything's so far away from us.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And 90% of the people I meet abroad, they all seem to say that if they've been to America, it's New York City.
Yeah.
And that's all they know.
Yeah.
So, but there wouldn't be a reason really to go to Austin, Texas, you know.
But have you been to some places that people want to visit in America? Like, I don't know, Grand Canyon or like Yellowstone, these places. Have you been there?
Mm-hmm.
You
okay, Grand Canyon, because, yes.
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of people in America, they don't travel that much.
And that's true.
The same thing that when I used to live in Russia, I didn't travel far east or some places. You just live there and you just do your stuff. You don't think about traveling. You just live there. So yeah,
you're right. All right, another fun question. If you could switch lives with anybody tomorrow, who would it be? Just to see what their life is like.
For some short period.
Because yeah, I don't want to...
Just for the day. Okay. With some politician, I guess. I want to see how they just rule the world. But not with Donald Trump. No, I don't want... even for a day, I don't want to wear his shoes. That's crazy. But maybe with some Scandinavian politician. I don't want to get this famous experience, you know, famous person experience, but like some guy who ruled the world, who knows the stuff for a day, that would be, yeah, interesting.
If I gave you €500,000 tomorrow, what would you do with the money?
I would quit my job and start traveling.
Mm.
Yeah, because that's never enough for me. To see the world.
You're a travel
addict.
And
I would go to Japan, yeah, for a month.
Which way would you go to Japan? Would it be east or west from here?
East, yeah.
And it'd be what, 15 hours or?
I guess so.
Something like that?
Yeah, and no direct flights.
No?
We don't have a lot of direct flights from here to anywhere, even to Europe. You know, it's a funny thing about Estonia that we are in Europe, but no one like cannot get here without the connection to some other place. So,
what's the top destination spot from here?
Now it's probably Amsterdam because a lot of things changed after the COVID and the war. So it used to be Germany for sure. Now it's probably Amsterdam.
I saw a coffee shop in the old town with the weed symbol on it.
Yeah.
Do they have coffee shops like Amsterdam where you can smoke weed?
But that's the medical one. So it's,
oh, it's
like
medical marijuana?
CBD or something like that.
So not the real deal to get you high?
Yeah.
That's illegal here?
Yeah.
I don't have any other questions. anything else you want to talk about?
Just tell me what's your plan for the year. So to avoid the heat and then... You want to travel or you want to stay someplace for like a long time?
Well, we try to stay in places for a month. That reduces the cost and it gives you a feel for the place if you're there for a month. And a lot of things work monthly, like the public transport, and you get a discount like with Airbnb when you stay for a month. So I feel like that's a good amount of time. So we'll be in Gdańsk for a month. We'll be in Krakow for about a week, and then we go to Prague for maybe 5 or 6 weeks, and then we go home. That'll be late September. October, we're supposed to be in Costa Rica. November, maybe Colombia, but I'm not sure on that yet. And that's as far as our travel plans go so far. I'd like to be able to find a doctor who helps me. I have neck issues, and I went to, as I said, a doctor here. And I told him, if you can help me, I will stay here for the rest of the year. So if I find a magical doctor that has healing powers, I'll stay in that area for a while. Otherwise, we're just living. That's it.
How is it with the kid?
It's wonderful. You heard the podcast with my daughter.
Yeah.
So she's mature. She's very independent for her age. It's so much easier that now that she can walk a long distance, because last year when we did this, we took a stroller with us, and after 5 minutes walking, she would say, I don't want to walk anymore, so we put her in the stroller, and we've avoided places with hills and mountains, like I would love to go to Dubrovnik. I've been there before. I'd love to take the fam, but it's there are a lot of stairs. But yeah, it's wonderful. The added cost is the flight ticket and getting a 2-bedroom. So we've tried a 1-bedroom, but she would wake my wife up at 6 a.m. by staring in her face from 2 inches away. So my wife doesn't want that. She needs her own bedroom. So we always look for 2 bedrooms. And I can tell you, we were going to travel here maybe 4 years ago when the baby was newborn. That was during COVID. And I was looking at prices in places like Warsaw and Prague. And they were, let's say, 60% of the cost of what it is now. So it's up, maybe what was 1200 then is 2000 now. And when COVID hit, right around that time, a couple weeks later, they could only market internally within the country. And you could, I saw places for half of $1,200, sometimes even $400 for a place for a month. It was crazy, which tells me those people are operating just to get the suckers from overseas who are willing to pay an outrageous amount of money. But you can't get anything cheaper than that. Every once in a while, I'll go to a local website where they try to market to students, I guess, and can get a deal, but it's rare. Because you usually don't want to live where students live anyway. And anyway, so yeah, I'm always cost conscious as we do this, but I love it. And I want to do it as long as we can. My wife wants another child, and you know, we may work on that soon. I don't know.
But how is it? I love the part when you ask your daughter, where are we? In which country? And she doesn't know. She yeah. She's not like she knows, but she's not sure. Is it Poland yes. still or is it Estonia already? Yes. So how is it? I mean, people think that having a kid is hard and traveling with a kid is hard and immigrating with a kid is even harder. How is it going with like your time? I mean, one of you are always with the kid, or you enroll her in some daycare, and how is it going?
We do, yeah. We enroll her in daycare wherever we go, except here for some reason. So you guys just had the holiday yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a big break, like mm-hmm. 2 week break.
Yeah.
So for listeners, was it yesterday? Tuesday was your holiday?
Wednesday is the first day. Yeah, the Tuesday was a holiday, Monday and Tuesday.
And it only gets dark for 1 hour that night, yeah. right? So it's a big celebration. So anyway, for that reason, I believe they closed their daycares for 2 weeks. And so we're only here for 4 weeks. So we couldn't get her enrolled. And this is the only place we haven't been able to do that. But in Warsaw, Prague, wherever, we've been able to put her in there at least about 3 days a week. So that gives us time to do what we want to do. But here, my wife is spending a lot more time with our daughter. And I come here and get some work done. And we spend weekends together. And I'll take days off and do things with them. I have clients, coaching clients that I have calls with every week, but we're 8 hours ahead of most of them. They're in different time zones in America, but on average 8 hours ahead. So I'm usually doing calls at night. So that's my work. I stay busy and I have to do that. Like I can't be vacationing all the time. It would ruin my mental state, I think. I have to be productive. So...
Yeah,
that's how we do it.
And what about friends? Do you or your daughter want like to have friends around all the time? Like, okay, these people are my people. I don't want to go any places.
That's the only downside.
Yeah,
I think so. Is leaving your friends and family. Yeah. But it's only for 3-4 months. We're gone 5 months this time, I believe. Okay. But, you know, and then you go back and I make sure to see everybody while I'm there. And it's more special, you know, because you don't get to see them that often. But yeah, that's the downside. I do recommend living close to friends if you can. I think that's like the ultimate life hack for happiness sake.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to make new friends. You're a friend now, and I'll be gone in 2 weeks. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, But our daughter seems to adjust well to that. So she'll make friends. You remember I asked her on the podcast, who's your best friend? And she named people from different countries, which I thought was so awesome. So, and I think it helps her mature quickly too, to be forced to meet new people. And she embraces that. And yeah, I love it.
Nice.
She's getting wise to the world very quickly.
Yeah. Does she learn languages during your...
She learned Spanish. Her mom speaks Spanish.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. She surprised me on that podcast. She was telling me things. I was like, whoa, who are you? Yeah. Because we interact all the time and I don't hear any of that. So it was great to get her on. I'll probably do it again because the feedback was great. And it was fun. So she took it very serious. It was great.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No.
All right.
I'm done.
Thank you for being here. This is fun.
Thank you for this experience because, you know, I love experiences.
Yeah,
and that's a new one. Yeah, that was totally new one for me and my imposter syndrome. Yeah, to be your guest here.
Yeah, it keeps you young to have new experiences, you know?
Yeah.
Like it slows down life a little bit. It doesn't go by as fast when it's not as monotonous.
Yeah,
have these
definitely.
Novel experiences. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
If anybody wanted to contact you, would you want them to contact you? Are you on the socials?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. I'll put a link to your socials in the show notes.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. Yeah, all right. Thank you. Friends, thank you for listening. If I can do anything for you, let me know. I can be found on the socials. I'm Man Overseas, manoverseas.com. And we'll talk at you soon. Thank you all for listening. God bless. Bye-bye.